You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Back to A Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dykes, and tonight I am delighted to be joined by Sean Connolly and Laura Bradburn. This is the third instalment of the match day coverage, and thankfully we got that second goal, guys. Although there was a couple chopped off as well, Sean, that second half just got a wee bit scrappy, didn't it?
Yeah, it was, and I'm sure everyone's going to say in the comments and the conditions, but like, we scored four goals all in. Fair enough, two of them were just marginally offsides or whatever. Yeah, it wasn't a classic performance, but it kind of reminds me of that one where we, was it 1-0 against St Johnstone, where James Forrest scored, that kind of game, you know, where it was more just a kind of a bit of a digging it out kind of game where the opposition were well up for it, put in a lot of effort, had a good game plan, and we weren't at our best, but we did enough and had enough quality.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll let the comments flow for this post-match as well. What did you think of the game? Yeah, it did seem as though we were in control, but every time Kilmarnock kind of breached their back line, Laura, I mean, the three of us were obviously watching the game, and there was a concern that as easy as it could have been 4-0, it could have been one each going into the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I was pretty concerned in the first half, and even more so in the second half, that they seemed to be winning a lot of the aerial battles when they were attacking. And I was a bit concerned about how vulnerable we might be to conceding a goal from a set piece. Thankfully, that didn't happen, but it was a very kind of back and forth game where we had periods of domination and then they had periods of coming back into it. So after saying before the match, Ange doesn't really do scrappy wins, he's going to prove me wrong, obviously.
No, exactly. Yeah, whatever's required. Both games ended 2-0 this week, Celtic versus Kilmarnock, but both games were completely different, Sean. I mean, in the league game, I felt comfortable. You know, we were dominant in possession. Didn't ever think, really, Kilmarnock were going to put us under the cosh or nick a goal. Didn't get that vibe at all tonight. But again, you've got to try and look at the positive and say, well, we showed enough character. You look at that last goal, the tenacity of every player closing down the Kilmarnock players until they make a mistake, until there's, you know, James E. Forrest latches onto it. And of course, I'm going to bring this up before I come to you, Sean. Someone's remembered here in the comments that Laura was a big fan of David Turnbull. You'd have been pleased with the Turnbull pass for the goal. Was it a pass or was it a shot? we'll start off with that. You and Boy Martin, of course, that was an ugly game, but we win in another cup final. Exactly, Sean. Let's just celebrate the fact that we showed enough character and tenacity to get the result.
Yeah, so February 26th, we'll be enjoying a cup final against either Sevco or Aberdeen. Hopefully the pitch is cut up enough that Aberdeen, who are used to playing in potato fields, will have a good... sheep grazing fields. We'll have a good fair crack tomorrow.
And we all know what potaudry means now. If anybody was watching The Chase.
Exactly, yeah. You're right. Glenn Murby, I'm bringing this up because obviously Sean is dialing in from a different part of Australia, of course. Got up at 4:30, did Glenn, to watch the game. Got to say, I should have stayed in bed. Not our best performance, too many sloppy passes. Yeah, absolutely, from Starfelt and Burnaby at the back. But a win is a win, and sometimes you've just got to get that win, get out of Dodge, and as you say, look forward to the final. Sean, I mean, Laura, we're not entitled. We're in a cup final. It's the first cup final of the season. You know, some of us are dreaming about trebles. I certainly am. So we've just had to go out there and get the business done, as scrappy as it was.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked often enough on this show about trying to break down teams whose main objective is to stop us scoring. And to give Kilmarnock some credit, I don't think that was how they approached the game entirely. I think they did come at us and try and create chances of their own. So from that point of view, that was maybe what afforded us the chance to go on and win the game. But like you say, a final's never to be taken for granted. And, you know, the old saying goes, the winning's a habit. So if we can get to that final on a good run of form, hopefully, and get a trophy in the cabinet well before the season's over, then it can only stand us in good stead for what else is to come in the Scottish Cup and the league, obviously.
Yeah, we're 4 minutes into the stream and there's over 400 of you tuning in live. So thank you all for tuning in to A Celtic State of Mind. Barry McCluskey is still unhappy. I mean, we've just had two goals chopped off for VAR. Starting to think that one of the reasons VAR goes against us is that it gives the officials a chance to confer and get their story straight. Now, Sean, this might be controversial, but just before Giakoumakis' goal, there was a shout from the Kilmarnock players that Giakoumakis had manhandled their player to the ground. Was it the boy Armstrong?
I don't think it was Armstrong.
He was involved in most things, yeah. What was your take on that? Because you're saying no chance. That's never a penalty.
No, I didn't think it was a penalty. He's leaned into him. He's not really... if you put your hand on someone to get leverage and then they go down, that's more when it's a penalty. But if you're just moving forward... in the ball, if neither player has possession of the ball, so at that point it's really just incidental contact and the Kilmarnock player just going down easy. To me, that's not a penalty. I know that they're all shouting for it. Willie Colum, you can see in the replay saying I saw it or I'm calling it, whatever it was he was saying. I know I'm only an amateur referee, but for me, that's, as per the rules, that's not a penalty.
You happy with that, Laura?
Far be it from me to argue with a ref, but I think if that's the other way around, I'm all over it, asking for a penalty. And I think it was a big call. I'm glad it went our way because obviously it was still only 1-0 at that point. And, you know, if they get that penalty and score it, then it makes the last few minutes of the game a lot different. I think the least you can say about it is it was clumsy, you know. And as again, as another old saying goes, if you give the referee a decision to make, that's your first mistake. So I appreciate Sean's knowledge on the subject. But yeah, I think if I'm a Kilmarnock fan, I'm shouting for that all day.
Let's go back to Barry's comment then. Obviously, two VAR decisions. I'm going to say went against us because we lost two goals. What was your thoughts on the two goals? Were they the correct decision to get them disallowed, do you think, Sean?
What can you say? They have these cameras stationed on the moon, which with have like 20 megapixel resolution that can somehow tell us at 100 frames per second exactly what's happening, whatever AI is calculating it. We can't really argue with that, can we? Actually, to be fair, I think they were right, even though it's frustrating because back in the day, they're probably given. I think even if you look as recently as this season, we had one where... And then the only one really that's gone in our favour before VAR came in was there was one of the goals in the 9-0 game where Jota was offside and the goal was given. And I think apart from that, it's really not helped. There's not been anything that's really gone our way. There's just so many other games where you look back and VAR would have helped us out. And in this occasion, it's fine. You know, with... As Joxton said, you need to be good enough to beat the referees as well as the opposition, and we were today. That sounds like I'm saying the referees were unfair in their judgment. They weren't. They were fair in their judgment. But you're right. Before VAR, those goals probably stand, which is just it's not something you can get too angry about. But also, it's kind of disappointing in a sense.
It is disappointing, and we spoke about it in the second half, Laura. The fact that we've got two brilliantly crafted goals this season that won't count. The first one, obviously, Jota up at Fir Park. And then tonight, that Kyogo pass was a thing of absolute beauty as he laid on Maeda. And what a finish by Maeda as well. One of us was saying Henry-esque, the way he put that into the roof of the net. It was brilliant. It's a shame when it's such a tremendously crafted goal that you're getting called offside because your heel is offside. It is very frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah, it's frustrating, but I guess it's one of the aspects of football that I can learn to live with because it is essentially black and white. Obviously, as Sean said, the quality of the cameras and the computers and stuff that are being used to make the decision are worth questioning, but while they are the way they are, the images that were shown suggested that they were both offside and we have to go with that. I think there are other laws in the game and other rules that I would maybe want to review and look at changing first and foremost. Like the handball rule for me is a lot more contentious in terms of what the actual rule is, how it's applied and all that kind of thing, rather than the offside where it's a black and white issue. And on this occasion, although it frustrates me and although I don't think they call that offside without VAR, ultimately it was probably the right decision and thankfully we've not come to any harm because of it.
Yeah, as I say, we get the result, we move on to the final and we now have about 700 of you watching live. So thanks, welcome everybody to the post-match stream. We're 10 minutes in and there's loads of good comments coming. I'm going to start off with Mikar, who wants to praise Joe Hart, and quite rightly so, Sean. Hart had more saves to make on that park, and by the way, some of them were very, very important. I thought he had a very good game tonight, did Joe Hart?
Yeah, he was brilliant. There was from the save he made after 5 minutes to everything he was doing in the second half. I know you were you gave him a bit of a hard time for not coming for one of the balls and over the top and behind. But I thought he was very good, and he certainly made a difference today. I believe from memory, Sam Walker's first save was around about the 83 minute mark when that Adam Moy shot, which was a brilliant shot and was absolutely going in the bottom corner, was probably our first shot that the goalkeeper actually had to deal with. So up to that point, we'd been denied more goals by video assistants than we had by the Kilmarnock goalkeeper.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, I think we'll get on to Moy because he's a player now that is becoming almost quite difficult to drop. But before we speak about him, give you your chance, Laura, to talk about Joe Hart. He's made a massive impact, obviously, since coming to the club. I said pound for pound, he was the best million quid that Ange had spent. He's been brilliant value for money. But there has been some detractors, as Mick says. There's been a lot of people giving him a bit of stick, and quite a few of us on Axon have been giving him a bit of stick. But then you see him on a night like tonight, you think, right, that's his true worth. Joe Hart was excellent tonight.
Yeah, it's a little bit like Kyogo up the other end of the pitch. they can both have nights where they're off it and have very little or no impact. But like Kyogo, Joe Hart's got it in his locker to produce really top-class saves. And I think certainly he made a few key saves. A couple of them were really top-class. And I think I don't think we can underestimate just how shaky we were between the sticks before Joe Hart came in. Like the Barkas, Connor Hazard, you know,
Scott Bain
era, where it was that kind of thing of he didn't really have a preferred option because you didn't have trust in any of them. Whereas we're now in a situation where Joe Hart we've got trust in, and even Siegrist when he's available, I think most people would say they'd be confident that he would turn in a good performance against a team of Kilmarnock's calibre. So yeah, I mean the biggest thing I can say is everybody knows my opinion on Joe Hart when he signed. I thought he was going to be too big of an ego for the dressing room. I thought he was coming for a bit of a last payday. Still think there's been glimpses of that in some of the things that he said, where he's maybe let the mask slip a little bit. But the biggest compliment I can pay him personally is that he was actually my choice for player of the season last season when the fans were asked to vote. I just thought he might not have been the most spectacular player when you think about Jota, Abada, Kyogo, all of those last season. But to me, he was the one that you would have to say, out of all the players we have, who could you not replace if you lost them for a major chunk of the season? And I think last season, certainly, and this season, he's been one of the most irreplaceable players that we've had.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there's been certain events, you know, I remember in Europe where he has bolted out his box, Sean, ran up to Ange and had a wee confab with Ange, and you could see that he was kind of like part of this decision-making process. Then at Ibrox with the glass in his box, and he's basically saying, mm-hmm. right, team, let's get off the park, we'll just walk off. So I think that there's a leadership quality to Joe Hart that we were sadly lacking when he signed. But tonight, had Siegrist been fit, there might have been an appearance for Siegrist tonight. And it's pivotal that Hart plays and Hart saves some really, really important, pulls off some really important saves. What happens in the final, though, if Siegrist is fit?
That's a good question, actually. Yeah, I think you'd have to stick with Hart after the semi-final, which is a shame for Siegrist because he played well in the previous games. Yeah, it's a shame. But, you know, if it was about, you know, if it was just about bringing up the next man in, then Bain would have played tonight, but it's not about that. We think Siegrist is a potential, you know, fill-in here at first choice, so we're going to let him show that in these competitions, and he's done that really well. And if it helps keep Joe Hart on his toes, then that's even more important in that sense.
For sure.
You could certainly accuse him of being lax at times, even if you can't accuse him of lacking quality.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think of that, Laura? Because the situation now with goalkeepers is that we have Joe Hart, indisputable number one. But like Sean was saying, Ange was bringing Siegrist in for the League Cup games. He's injured tonight. Bain's on the bench. And Toby Oluwayemi is away out on loan for the rest of the season to get some first-team experience over in Ireland. However, we're in the final. And if the plan was to give Siegrist the League Cup games, do you just go against that because of the performance tonight of Joe Hart?
I mean, this is why I like the fact Ange is paid to make the decisions and not me, because I really don't know what I would do in that situation. I think probably Joe Hart and Siegrist are both professional enough to know what way the land lies, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Siegrist come back in for a final.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
There's also a bit of me that wonders whether the potential opponent dictates who the goalkeeper's going to be, whether Hart maybe comes in if it's Rangers, but Siegrist comes in if it's Aberdeen, and that's no disrespect to Aberdeen, but that's just the reality of the situation and how I think it might go. But either way, I think we've got two decent goalkeepers there. The point about him, you know, coming out his goal a bit quick and sometimes being a bit shaky with the ball at his feet. That's something you always knew about Joe Hart. That was a feature of his game when he was signed. So I don't think that's anything we can start complaining too much about now, because it's a known quantity with him. I think if it was a big enough problem, Ange would have made sure he wasn't featuring as heavily as he has for the last 18 months.
Yeah, absolutely. Now Michael Ross comes in to remind us we don't stop. Absolutely. Michael, Stephen Sloan wasn't happy with the performance tonight. Three shots on target is not good enough. Sean picked up on that. Stephen there, with regards to the first save that was made by the Kelly goalkeeper. The players were done after 60 minutes and Ange waited until 73 to make a change. Since we've come back from the World Cup, it's not been great to watch. Michael Ross points out sometimes the semi-finals are horrible games to watch. Well, it wasn't a classic tonight, that's for sure. But I want to talk about a few individuals. And Stevie Boy brings up the man, Giakoumakis, who has been the subject of lots of discussion over the last few weeks. Sean, he's been linked to several clubs. I don't know what to believe anymore, because Ange, obviously, he was playing a bit of a game to a degree in the presser, because he doesn't like to let the business side of things get out there until the deals are done. I totally get that. But you just don't know what to believe. I mean, Giakoumakis, what we've been hearing is he's unhappy. Sampdoria are interested. He's going to Japan. Various clubs interested in him. But he came in tonight, and I think that, again, it was another reminder that he can give you something a wee bit different tonight.
It's all very curious, you're right, all this speculation. And I would actually be surprised if he doesn't start on Wednesday against Livingston at home. I would be expecting him to get a run-in in that game. We had no game midweek this week, but there was really a consistent spell last season where we were alternating when we had those midweek games. Even if you think back to the start of this season where we had four games in a row without a midweek breaking up, it was Kyogo. And that seems to happen when there's no midweek game. So I would actually be hoping to see something of Giakoumakis this week. And if he leaves in the next 2 weeks, then he leaves. As long as he's just scored as a goal today that sealed the game and he's putting in a lot of effort, not just in the box, because we were talking about it as it was even happening, like 20, 30 seconds before he scores the goal, he's 40, 50 yards away from that goal, holding up play. So he's obviously put in a massive effort to get from there to there in that intervening 20 seconds. So I really can't fault his effort. I don't think I can fault his quality. And in the speculation, there's probably a lot more noise. I know we're no smoke without fire, but there's also a lot of kind of noise in there that's not actually what's happening. And if he's just doing the business on the park, then I'm happy to ignore that noise.
Yeah, you're spot on. If you go back, Laura, to what Sean says there, 92 minutes is where there was a Kilmarnock penalty shout. Giakoumakis is defending his goal 10 yards from goal. Right, 93 minutes, he's holding the ball up using his body strength as he does so well, 40 yards from goal, and 94 minutes, he scores the second goal. And I'm a massive fan of Kyogo. I love Kyogo, I mean, I love what he gives to the Celtic side, but Giakoumakis does give you something completely different. And I just think that, you know, if he was to leave, it's going to be very difficult to replace what he gives and what he offers the Celtic side. And during the week, I even suggested that, you know what, if it is some contract issue where he was given a gentleman's agreement and we would look at and review his contract, which I'm not too sure if that's the case, because it's modern football and everything's in the contract, Laura, right? But if he was expecting, you know, a wage rise, let's say, and he's done well enough in his mind, give him it. Keep him. Why scour all these markets to try and find a replacement?
Yeah, Listen, there's a bit of me that thinks it's not the way that I would want Celtic to operate, to renege on a gentleman's agreement if it did exist. But on the other hand, you've got to see Giakoumakis as being naive if he thinks that in the business of football, these things can't change. If it's not written down and signed, then it doesn't have to happen. And that's potentially what's happened there. But as far as like him as an option goes, certainly in a game like tonight where Kyogo was so ineffective and sort of wasn't penetrating the defence of Kilmarnock at all, and was actually having to drop a bit deeper to find the ball, and then wasn't in decent positions. Giakoumakis provided a little bit more of a threat, I think. Not even necessarily from a goal-scoring point of view, but like you say, just the physical presence of being able to, for want of a better phrase, noise up the Kilmarnock players. I mean, I was talking about 86 minutes or something, I says, oh, all we need now is a GG goal, and it was Sean that says, well, he's not going to get that, he's 40 yards for the goal at the moment, on the touchline, I think it was, dealing with a Kilmarnock defender. So, you know, he's got the work ethic, he's got the work rate. I said it before the game that his attitude does not appear to have changed despite everything that's been going on. And that, for me, is the biggest feature that would make me think, yeah, we should maybe think about giving him what he wants. But at the same time, the club can't be held to ransom. And if they've offered him something and he's not satisfied with it, there comes a point where you've just got to say, okay, we'll part ways and that's that.
Yeah, I'd be sad to see him go. You know, I've said this before. I think that he's got a lot to offer and he's going to be difficult to replace for sure. Vic Harper comes in and he brings in Juranovic as well, the two guys we want rid of. Took that game. I thought Juranovic played really well tonight as well, Sean.
I don't, sorry, just to jump in there, I don't think any of us are saying we want rid of any of them. I think if you gave us the option, we would want to keep players of the quality of Juranovic and Giakoumakis. But the point is, they're probably headed out the door, and that's the only thing anybody's saying, I think. Sorry.
Just before I come to you, Sean, right? See, on the Juranovic case, right? We've heard all these different clubs that were meant to be in for him. Everybody from Barcelona to Chelsea and Man United, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if Celtic are interested in a player, somebody asks Ange about it at a press conference. Nobody's asking any of these clubs at press conferences, are you in for Celtic Juranovic? And that's understandable. Mm-hmm. What if none of them are interested in Juranovic? What if it's all just agent feeding stories to X, Y, and Z? And the fact is, we haven't had offers of any kind of sufficiency. I mean, if he's going to Italy on loan with an option to buy and all that nonsense, right? What if that's the only option that we've had, the only offer? We're keeping him. There's no way that, you know, we're going to let a player of that stature and that level go, even though we've got a replacement in the door. I mean, I don't think we'd cut our nose off to spite our face, would we?
Most certainly not. If the rumours about the wage structure of these two players is true, then yeah, it's not really any financial skin off our noses to keep hold of them, you know. You could also argue that it's better for our long-term financial interests and what we can ask for in transfer fees if we do play hardball. Then the next time a club comes to the table for any of our players, then they know that, you know, they can't get them on the cheap. Which is, you see the opposite thing happening in other places in Glasgow. So yeah, you're right. It could well be a case that maybe it's every now and again you do need to let a player just stew in it and to show that we're in charge of these situations. But I don't know. There's obviously a lot going on that we don't know about, and there could be release clauses that we don't know about, et cetera, et cetera. So we're all just fumbling around in the dark, trying to figure out what's really going on here. But we know they're good players. We know they've had great games, with a few exceptions. And as Laura says, we're not trying to force them out. We would love them to stay here and contribute to success. But if there needs to be turnover, if we need freshness, if there's going to be benefit as to make profit on players, then that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, for sure. We spoke at half-time and before the game, actually, around the two centre-halves, Laura. At half-time, we were a bit critical of Starfelt. I think he came onto a game in the second half because it was scrappy. It was a backs-to-the-wall performance, and I think that's when he's at his best, when he needs to defend. But obviously, he's alongside one of the best players I've seen in my lifetime now in Carter Vickers, and people might think...
And that is a long time.
Remember, Colin thought I had seen Jimmy McGrory playing for Celtic. Martin Bickett says Carter Vickers is the best since Elliot. There you go. That's a bold statement. We've had some brilliant centre-halves, Martin, but, you know, he's putting in the performances. Moy channeling Zidane. I love that. You know, we spoke to Stuart Braithwaite, the Mogwai guitarist and sometime vocalist, and Mogwai had done the soundtrack to the Zidane movie. Don't know if you've ever seen it. It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And I'd asked them the question. I says to Stuart, big Celtic fan, I said, you know, if there was a Celtic player that you could do the soundtrack for their biopic, who would it be? And he said Lubo. But I think there needs to be one for Moy as well. What about the arc of Moy's Celtic career, Laura? He comes in, underwhelming, getting a bit of flack. Some people were saying, what are we signing this guy for? And he's a first pick now. And he had a cracking game tonight. I was saying just before the final whistle, you know, he's played a full game here. Obviously got hooked in about the 92nd minute. But how impressed have you been with his performances after the World Cup?
Well, listen, I want to thank Martin Bickett for obviously watching, but I think whatever he's having tonight, I want some of that, because the only thing that Moy's channeling is Zidane's hairline, I think. But listen, Aaron Moy, I can't remember the last time I saw a player take so much confidence from a significant event in their career the way he has with that World Cup. He's come back from that World Cup absolutely flying off the back of a couple of really good performances, and I don't think that can be ignored. I think you saw, I mean, who'd have said, you said when he was going off the pitch tonight, you know, he went off in the 92nd minute. We got 90 minutes out of Aaron Moy tonight, and he was effective for those entire 90 minutes. And I don't think anybody can say that him going off bettered the team for who was coming on in his place. I think he was signed at a time when we were signing a lot of glamorous players, a lot of strikers, a lot of big no-nonsense defenders, wingers, that kind of thing. And yes, he's not the most glamorous player you'll sign, and he doesn't do the most glamorous job in the team. But it's becoming clear that what he does do is hugely effective for the system that Ange's trying to play. And given a bit of time and a bit of a chance to settle into the team, as well as that confidence boosting performance in Qatar, and he's really started to show his worth. And I think a lot of people's attitudes will have been changed compared to their attitudes on the day that we signed them.
Yeah, I always thought it was a low risk signing, Sean. You know, as a player that Ange knew from international football, he had the pedigree, he'd played at a really, really high level down south as well. And he was a free transfer, after all. But he's actually forced himself into this team. In amongst the midfield, it looked as though it was going to be very, very difficult to break into with Hatate, O'Reilly and McGregor. Yet he's done it. And tonight, I thought he was brilliant this evening.
Yeah, he had a lot of scepticism to overcome, given that he was somewhat replacing Tom Rogic. But it's hard to argue that he's probably the best St Mirren midfielder we've had since Paul Lambert, even if he's not the best City Group player we've had in the last 10 years. So he's certainly gone a good way to convincing us all. And to the point where most people kind of look back at the Ibrox game and lament the fact that he didn't start, which I believe is the only game he's not started since the World Cup.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And he was on great form, because remember the Hibs game, scored a couple of goals and then he was dropped. But again, that shows the power of O'Reilly, who was on the bench tonight. He'd obviously a fantastic talent as well. Hatate had been playing right back. He moves into midfield. But you're right. We'll probably look back on that and say, Moy should have started. Here we go. What's it? Stubbsy's horse. Stubbsy's horse. Last goal. This is a good point. Forrest to Turnbull with Giakoumakis' finish. Great subs. Stephen Sloan was earlier on criticising maybe the length of time it took for the subs to be made. But in a nutshell, Stubbsy's horse has shown, Laura, that it was a great move by Ange. And Forrest was very effective for the few minutes it was on. I thought he'd done really, really well. Best hind end in a pair of Celtic shorts since Stevie Fulton, I think I said.
Absolutely. The word peachy springs to mind, but I think we can get away with that, although it's not past the watershed. But anyway, listen, I think Ange has a real talent for identifying the point in the match when to go for the kill. And I think part of that is the substitutions that he makes. You look at the substitutions that came on, they are goal-orientated substitutions. Even without those ones that were mentioned, you had Abada coming on, and although he wasn't very effective, the point of him coming on was to try and score, obviously. And I think Ange, you know, is really good at identifying when Kilmarnock have kind of gassed themselves out a little bit, and we bring on the fresh legs and make use of the number of substitutions we're still allowed to make with the rule changes over the last couple of years, and essentially have almost half of a brand new team on the pitch for the last 10-15 minutes of the match. And it's no coincidence the number of times we've scored late on in matches. I don't think that's luck. I think that's part of the game plan, and I think it worked again tonight.
Yeah, for sure. And Abado, of course, had that great chance as well. Probably should have done better with it, with the head. Great move by James Forrest to play through Turnbull. It was a decent effort. And, of course, Giakoumakis was there to do what he does so, so well. Hopefully, it's not the last time we see him ripping that shirt off and celebrating a goal in Celtic colours. We're through to another final. Let's be happy with that. And we'll see who we're facing tomorrow. Of course, when Aberdeen play Rangers at Hampden. It's been a busy wee night. We've hit well over 800, 850 on the stream tonight. So thanks, everybody, for getting involved. If you give us a big thumbs up and like the video, it makes a massive difference. We've noticed over the last few weeks, if you haven't subscribed to the channel, please do so. We're going to be giving away quite a few prizes most days this week as well, just for subscribing to the channel. And if you want to come and see us live with Danny McGrain, who has got one of the best senses of humour I've ever encountered, then, and of course, world-class fullback and all-round legend, then the ticket link is underneath this video. All that's left for me to say once again is Laura Bradburn and Sean Connolly, thank you for joining me on A Celtic State of Mind.
Thank you.
Message and data rates may apply. Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head, comb it over, wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration experts, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to anyone that texts EASY to 203203. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad, because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part? Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let Bosley show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text EASY to 203203. That's EASY to 203203.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.